All right, we'll start off with a word of prayer. Father, I thank and praise you for the beauty of this day now that you've given to us. We thank you, Father, for just all the things here that you have given to us. Lord, it is a beautiful thing out here now already, seeing the color that you're putting out here on this earth. You're a magnificent God, and I just can't believe just some of the stuff that's out here, and how the flowers and some of the trees already and the colors that are in them, and you're giving new life here to this earth once again for us here, Father. We ask, Lord, that we would just not take advantage of it, but just realize what you've given to us here, Lord, and just all the things about us. And we know that you are a loving God and a God that does want us to serve you. And we just ask we could just do that for you. We ask for your help here today, Father, with this lesson. And we just ask, Lord, now that you would just guide and direct us and enlighten us here today, Father, any different aspects of what we're going to be talking about here as we're starting a new lesson. So I just ask you would just be with us with that. We ask now, Father, for your help and that you would be with us. Be with the service to follow and help us to take to heart, Lord, the words that you've given to the pastor. And Lord, if someone comes that's not saved, they would get saved today. We thank and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day, since it's Mother's Day. I have two sayings here I want to read to you. First of all, this is for this is kind of personal for me. But anyhow, it says, they say there is a reason. They say time will heal. Neither time or reason will change the way I feel. Gone are the days we used to share, but in my heart you're always there. The gates of memories will never close. I miss you more than anybody knows. Love and miss you every day till we meet again for mom in heaven. That's where my mother is. And I appreciate that. She taught me lots. And then this and here and here on the other side of it. Everybody wants to save the earth. Nobody wants to help mom do the dishes. I like that one too. Okay, men, we kind of beat up on you. Some of you got black eyes. Some of you came out of it okay. But now, ladies, it's your turn. We're going to start on you today. And we're going to start on the wife. And I got lots of things here. And I kept adding more and more last night, and I can't believe the time that I worked on it here, that I was messing with it last night, and all this, it just went so fast. Sometimes things go so fast. But so we'll see here how things go here today. So first of all, ladies, how can you put some heaven in your home? How do you do that? Let me ask you that instead. Maybe it's tougher that way. How can you put some heaven in your home? And you look up heaven there, and there's lots of different things for it. But one of the things that I just seen there was great happiness that it means. How can you do that, ladies? Come on, speak. The men spoke, now you speak. Men, how can they do that for you? Put you on the spot this morning. That gets tough, you know, for a lot of you ladies that have, I mean, you younger ones, especially if all the kids and stuff that's there, you know, you plan your day. And you got so much stuff to do, you're not thinking except for doing what you had, you know. And that's tough, you know, to keep the right spirit, to keep all that those kind of things. It's a tough thing. Go ahead, Ben.
Thank you.
That's good. You're communicating, sharing. That's good. It's just something that we talked about last week, past couple weeks. Anybody else want to hit it? Well, I have some qualifications here that all wives should have. And first one here is Ephesians 5:33. Ephesians 5:33, an adoring heart. Ephesians 5:33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Adoring, an adoring heart. What do you think adoring means? Got a lot of questions to ask today. You have to participate. What do you think adoring means? Go ahead, Jennifer. I see the wheels rolling. Good. Anybody else? I'm going to get you to talk, ladies. You talk all the time. Don't tell me you don't talk. Anybody else want to try it? Adoring? An adoring heart. Honoring or addressing a divine regarding with great love or reverence is what it. The meaning of it is in the dictionary. Do you adore your husband, ladies? Think about it. First qualification. Second qualification, Ephesians 5:22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." A submissive spirit. A submissive spirit. What do you think that means? Go ahead, Ben.
It means that she doesn't roll over, play dead in the situation. It just means that she has a heart to she has a heart to go along with what you say. But she really has a heart to help you, so you don't mess it up. The decision, whatever it may be, or the direction.
Okay. Next. I'll soon call you out by name. You better start answering me. Elizabeth, you're just young married. What do you think a submissive spirit is? Very good. Yep. Very good.
How's she doing over there?
Submissive means yielding to the will or power of another. Obedient. Are you doing what your husband wants you to do with a sweet spirit? Think about it, ladies. Okay? All right. The next one here is 1 Peter chapter 3. Thanks for bringing that up. I thought about the same thing. In today's society, being submissive I mean, first of all, the women don't do that anymore. And second of all, they're not even teaching their children that anymore. And it's, you know, that's why it's becoming the way that it's becoming.
But if the kids don't see it in the home, then, you know, what's the next generation going to be like? And I mean, I grew up in a home that wasn't like that. And, you know, I mean, to this day, it's still not like that. You know what I mean? But, you know, there is, you still have the opportunity to turn back time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can still do it, you know, whether you're brought up that way or not brought up that way. You know, you got the Bible now, and the Bible can teach you and help you out with that, you know, with a submissive spirit for your husband and stuff, you know. And it's not only for your husband, it's for your children too and stuff, you know, that you're teaching them to be submissive and things like that. And ladies, I mean, if you have girls, especially girls, you know, teach them to be submissive, you know, to their dad and things like that. Then when they're brought up like that, they'll be able to submit to their husband. But that's what's happening today. They're not being brought up that way, these children today. And so what do you expect? What do you expect out of this, you know, just the country itself that you live in? I mean, if all these things are going, why? It's nothing. And I mean, look at the government. Dan, you're involved more than anybody. We're all involved, but you really get into it, and you can see what a country's like. I mean, what's our government like? There's nothing, nothing.
There's too many women in charge.
Submission and respect go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And when you don't have the submission, you don't have the respect, and therefore, it just throws everything out of line.
Right. Glenn.
Yeah, to give a lesson from Wally World, I get to observe hundreds of people a day early. And I remember growing up, I always remember the moms always and the children always following the dad through a store. But in Walmart, no women follow the men. They're in the lead. And it's just what I see. Well, that says something about how things have turned around. And I see when the kids are acting up, the dad's in the back silent. And the moms are the ones that are doing the discipline. And I also noticed another thing, when you see any writing from when people address a husband and wife, today they address the wife first and not the husband. Years ago, that's not the way it was. So you can see, right, our whole society has flip-flopped. That whole thing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's poor. I think it's a twofold problem myself. I think it's the lack of men doing their job, and we didn't want to take responsibility and took a back seat. And then women's liberation came along and finished it off by saying, okay, if you can't do it, you're unwilling, we'll take the lead. And I really think that's what's happened. I mean, myself. I don't want to blame it all on women saying, well, it's all their fault, they're not this and that. Because in all honesty, I failed in many ways in those areas. Well, that puts your wife in a position where she then has to leave. So we've kind of caused, you know what I mean? We've kind of caused it ourselves, I guess. That's
oh, no, no.
The enemy's had a plan.
Right.
But we've allowed it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I know Dan has said many times, the government, the reason why things are the way they are, because people won't take responsibility. And why aren't there more men in leadership? Because they don't want to. You know, we say we have a good voice and we don't speak up.
Yeah. And look how many men you see today that that stay home and do all the house chores and stuff, and the ladies go out and work. Yeah. The women go out and work. I mean, this is your society today. It's changing completely around. I agree. You know, us, the men are the ones that has blowed this whole situation. And, you know, it falls back on them, and they need to take the responsibility to stand up once again, you know, for this. Ben.
I have a tendency to let Jennifer handle it sometimes. Just handle the discipline situation, kid acting up, and that's something that's real struggle in my life. And my problem is I'm not alert. It's like I'm zoning out somewhere. And so I have that tendency to do that. And that's the work of the flesh. It's not walking in the spirit, and it's not walking circumspectly. But the other thing, too, about the society is, I mean, and I'll sound like a chauvinist pig, but when women got the right to vote, it's not that you don't want women to vote and have a say, but the whole idea of why women didn't vote in the first place was because they stood behind their men. And there wasn't a reason. Women had their vote. It was in their man. Mm-hmm. And so the country, really went downhill when women got the right to vote. Now, if I said that somewhere, they'd stone me, but but the truth is, it was a detriment, not because women had a say, finally. It's that they already had their say when the biblical family was defined in society. And so they had their say. And so really, the reason women got the right to vote is because the family had been torn down and torn down and torn down. And so it is a fruit. It is a fruit of not following this book. And now we have a mess today. But do you see how easy I'd be strung up for saying that? But say it anyway. I mean, well,
it's a historical fact.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is a historical fact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you can see, you know, just like I say, that, like you're all saying here, you know, the society today, you know, just, I mean, the first two qualifications here, an adoring heart and a submissive spirit. You don't see that. I mean, you'll see that in Christian families, but you will not see that hardly ever out here in this world. I mean, that Nancy Pelosi, I don't even want to get started on her, but, you know, I don't believe in hitting women, but I'm afraid. I'm sorry. You know, she needs to shut her mouth once. There's no doubt about that. You know, everything that comes out. Listen, I've been called a male chauvinist pig so many times in my life already. It's been pathetic, and I don't care. Just call, you know, they can call me whatever they want to call me. That's fine. But I'm going to stand up for what's right. I what the Bible says and stuff, you know, and that's just the way it is. And I had many women call me that, and that's just tough. Let them call me that. That's just the way it is. I'd rather be called a male chauvinist pig and then be some wimp out here someplace that doesn't, you know, stand up for what's right and stuff anyhow. But, you know, like I say, there's just, I don't even want to get started on that. But anyhow, next thing here is 1 Peter 3:1-6, and this is a holy life. A holy life, a qualification here for all wise that to have. It says in verse 1 here of chapter 3 of 1 Peter, "Likewise, ye wise, be in subjection to your own husbands, that, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." Think about that verse. Some man, there it is, her husband's not saved, and he's saved because of her conversations. He's won by that. He's won by that wife because she is in subjection to him. I mean, there's a strong statement there. So there is. Peter, I don't know what was going on there at that particular time, but he said that. But anyhow, he goes on here. He says, "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adoring, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and of the wearing of the gold and of the putting on of the apparel, but let it be hidden, be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God and a great price." Now, men, there's one thing that I believe that ladies do have. They have a better spirit than what we do, you know. And we need to learn from that, you know. And he's saying here, you know, that it comes from the heart. And you know, and a lot of ladies, I mean, ladies, I know your hearts are soft. A lot of, you know, there's not too many that Christian ladies, I say that they'd have a rough heart. I mean, your society today out here, it's a different story, you know. You have women boxers, you have women that want to play football, and you have all that kind of stuff, you know. Mostly, though, somebody that's following the Word of God, you know, and things like that, they're meek, they got a quiet spirit, they've got a heart, you know, that we need to learn after, men. But, that, you know, they do that. Because, and look here what he's saying here in verse 5. He says, "For after this manner in old times, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adored themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them accordingly to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." So, you know, a wife, you know, to put some heaven in your home there, you know, you have to have a holy life. And just hear what I just said there. If your lost husband is saved, it will be your godly life, not your constant nagging at him, you know, that he'll get saved. Let the preaching to the preacher. And that's what we need to do, you know. And ladies, that's what you need to do. Don't continually nag him, you know, about things. Live that holy life. That nagging, which we're going to be talking about later on anyhow, that nagging just doesn't get you nowhere. He can come home from work. Oh, man, look at them weeds in that garden. You got to get that done. You got to pull them weeds. Or look at my flower bed. It's so messed up. You know, I want this. I got to get it straightened out. Come on, you got to help me do this. Constantly nagging at him isn't going to get it done, you know. But having that sweet spirit, if you want to call it a sweet spirit, and that meekness and stuff, that's what's going to get it done for you, you know. What do you think there that holy means, this holy life? Holy means, I mean, when you look up a lot of these words, there is so many meanings to them. It's hard to find the right kind of meaning, you know. But, you know, holy itself here, you know, I think it means something here, you know. Just to help you out here a little bit, something that I wrote down anyhow. I just want your opinion, what you think it might mean. Go ahead, Ben. Right. I think, you know, that's what it is. Here's what I wrote down. I wrote down just some, I didn't write down the right, I just took it from a couple different ones. It's entire or perfect in moral sense, pure in heart, free from sin and sinful affections. We call a man holy when his heart is conformed in some degree to the image of God and his life is regulated by the divine precepts. So, you know, we can't be perfect, but we can certainly try to be, you know, as close as we can. As soon as they put us 6 foot under, or as soon as this heart stops and that last breath takes place, then you're going to be perfect. You're saved, you'll be perfect, but not until then. But you can try, you know, and it doesn't always happen, but you got to try. So, there's some qualifications that we have that you can, you know, use to put a little home in your heaven there, or a little heaven in your home. And mixed all talked up there, but anyhow. An adoring heart, a submissive spirit, and a holy life. Now, we're going to get to it, and probably some of the ladies thought, he's going to hit it one of these days, whenever we do get to it, and we are. We're going to hit it today. So everybody go to Proverbs chapter 31. Oh, Dan.
I just wanted to comment on your earlier statement about the sweet spirit. And when I'm zoned out or not zoned out. when Cindy as you stated, nagging, it makes me defensive. And I get in the flesh and I do not cooperate. But
no, that's a man, Dan.
Yeah.
That's a man. That is. Ladies, that's a man. You know that already.
I'm sure we can all do that.
Yes.
When she is sweet, and that happens a lot, then it forces me to think about her and not myself. It just drives me. I just do it. And I begin to think about her and how kind and gentle and sweet she is to me. And then I want to serve her.
Mm-hmm.
And I might get out and pull some weeds.
Glenn.
Just reading these five verses here in 1 Peter. I don't want to backtrack. But
go ahead.
It just reminded me of something that I had learned a long time ago, that today women are taught that weakness is weakness. But that's not what Scripture says.
No.
The Scripture tells us when you're weak, you're strong. And I think a lot of times we read these, or women doormat. You can use whatever term you like. Just think how strong you have to be in yourself to be surrendered and be submissive, and to not want to lash out. I can honestly say men don't tend to have that strength. Because if somebody does that to me, I'm going to hit them. I mean, that's our first, is it not our first instinct?
Exactly right.
Women won't do that. Why? It's not necessarily because they're afraid. That is a strength that men don't have, and I think a lot of times women don't realize they do have something. They just look at, oh, I'm weak. You know, I'm supposed to be submissive, you're weak. You're supposed to be submissive, but there's a strength in being able to do that. It just doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Because there are some women that don't have that, and I've seen them. They're like a flash can. But to be able to actually do that, there has to be a certain amount of strength in you. Mm-hmm. And then when you are submissive, then God gives you even more strength to be able to do it. Like you said, you know, they can be submissive and the husband go, rah, 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 and they take it. Well, taking a baseball bat and tuning them up. So I just thought that was something that, you know, that goes along with this what we're reading.
Right, right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Ben.
What Len said, but even so, a man needs to have that. It's through the Spirit. We all need that. And ladies may, like you said, have a, and some, like you said, some ladies may have toward that because of their femininity or whatever, but we men have that spirit also. Oh, that's
yeah.
The spirit of Christ. And yes, it's hard. Well, it's impossible. It's only by His fruit as He lives His life through us that we can yield to that and be able to do it by faith. Because we feel like it. Because like Lynn said, we don't feel like it. It's by faith that we're going to obey Him. And so we men need that kind of spirit. We so often.
My wife and I yesterday were having a little conversation about something, and everything was okay. And then she was out in my garage, which I don't like women out in my garage anyhow. But we were talking, and it was okay. So I come in the house for lunch, and all of a sudden she was thinking about this, and she started to talk to me. And I know I could feel my face getting a little redder and redder. Yeah, but, you know, I started to think... I've been holding this. I've been using this for quite a while now, and I just shared that with you guys. I think it was last week or that about the guy with his wife, you know, that she does is, you know, talk to him and says and I think about that, and I thought about that. Well, I thought, well, at least she can speak back to me anyhow, and I cooled down just like that. And I mean, I never lashed out at her or anything, but you know, I just one of them things that. Starting to keep in the back of my mind, at least she can talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm very thankful about that, at least anyhow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some things where, just like Dan, we're men. We men, you know, we are. We men are. Ladies, you don't. I know you don't understand it, but we are. Sometimes we're just out in nowhere land someplace. You know, we have our mind someplace else, and then all of a sudden you bring something up to us. And just like my wife there, she was talking to me and she said, "You're not listening to me." I said, "Yes, I am." So I repeated it back, only I repeated it opposite of what she was saying, you know, just to show her, you know. And I said, "See, I was listening to you." So, you know, but that's the way it is, you know. We men are. I don't know why we're like that, but, you know, we're either in the fix-it mode or we're in some kind of a mode someplace out in nowhere land. We're thinking about something else, and then all of a sudden you ladies bring something upon us, and whoo, you know, what was that? You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, things get a little... But anyhow, as we're talking. But yeah, no, that's good. That's good. That's very good with that stuff. Okay, the Proverbs 31 woman we're going to be going over here. And we got a lot of... The qualities of this Proverbs 31 woman that we're going to be going over here, that we're going to be seeing. And I hope you'll be able to see that. Okay. Now, Proverbs 31 here, it says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." I got involved in this here just a little bit the last night, and I wasn't even paying no attention to it until I started reading a little bit. They say this King Lemuel, they don't even know who he really was. There wasn't no king in Israel by this name. Now, some guys and some people want to consider him as Solomon. And then his mother here, they're saying that it was Bathsheba. But I don't believe that. I believe that this guy is a firstborn, you know, and I just can't, you know, I'm just thinking, and I can't even prove it by Bible or anything like that. Well, she says, what my son and what the son of my womb and what the son of my vows. So I'm thinking that he might be her firstborn and she's teaching him. But the whole point here is that his mother is teaching him. Now, at what age or anything like that, I don't know. You know, this guy here and the Agar in chapter 30 here, they think that they were from the kingdom of Manasseh in northern Arabia, is where they think that these two guys might have came from. I'm not positive. I'm not going to say I don't know. I can't say for sure. But like I say, it was just something interesting. But the whole thing was his mother taught him. His mother taught him these things, you know. And now he's relating this here, and the qualities here that he's saying of this Proverbs 31 woman here that he's talking about. He gives some very very good, very good illustrations, very good qualities, and. I mean, I added terrific verses and everything here, so we're going to be going over all kinds of verses and things with this. I thought this was going to go like this until I got involved in this last night again, and I know it's not going to go like this now, but anyhow. So these qualities. So quality here, number one. Proverbs 31:10. We're going to start at 31:10 here. He says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. A virtuous woman. What do you think is virtuous? What does virtuous mean? I know it's tough when somebody asks you questions like this. Your mind starts going boom, 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 you know, and I'm trying to think of what, you know. Whenever the pastor, he asks questions, the same thing, you know, and I think, man, oh, man, that's tough, but. What do you think of virtuous is?
Moral excellence.
Very good. What I looked up here, and it says, morally good, acting in conformity to the moral law, practicing the moral duties, and abstaining from the vice man. So, morally good. You know, someone that's morally good. Now, this woman here, I believe that she is virtuous, she's capable, and she's pure. What do you think capable means? Go ahead, Ben.
She can fix a fence if it needs fixed. I'm not saying she has to, and I get myself in trouble, but she can do some things to help a man out sometimes. If she has the strength to do it,
mm-hmm.
She's his helper. Sometimes in our society, I'll say, now we got extremes here. The women's lib crowd, well, they're gonna build a fence, you know. But then you got some in Christianity and or in church, they think the woman's just this weak little thing that can't do anything, and you got to lift her pots off the stove. And if she has trouble being like some ladies do, then you do have to.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think we need a real balance here. She's capable. She's able to do it.
Right, Natalie. Is that like putting a radio in a vehicle? My wife said, I can't believe Corby has her putting a radio in a vehicle.
No, that was my thing.
He
had enough to do with that, so
he
got one in the radio in the car.
Capable, right, you know, capable of doing it, you know. It says possessing mental powers, intellect, able to understand or receive into the minds, having a capacious mind, and as a capable judge and a capable instructor. You know, she'd be able, she's capable of doing it. You know, that's right. You know, sometimes they need help, yes, you know, but, you know, there's other times where, you know, they're capable of doing it. Just like you, using that illustration of building a fence. She can build a fence if she wants to. She's capable of doing it. So, you know, that's right. So, and then it says here that she's virtuous, she's capable, and she's pure. What do you think pure means? Damn.
Thinking morally correct.
Free from moral defilement, without spot, not tarnished, incorrupt, holy, real, true, guiltless, innocent, chaste as a pure virgin. That's just what it is, pure. Yeah, she's pure, you know. So she's virtuous, she's capable, and she's pure. Where do I have that, dear? Okay. So, yeah, so she is. She, you know, this is what this woman is here. I don't know why I have this other word in here. Let me see here. Okay, along with virtuous, I have chaste also. It said something about chaste when I was looking this up here, and chaste is purity also. It's true to the marriage bed. Disobedient and unsaved husband won over by the conversation. She's chased by this here because of that. And that was back here in 1 Peter when we were reading verse 1 and 2 and 7 there also went along with that being about being chased. So that's what this woman is. It says, he's saying, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Some verses here. Pastor, Proverbs 12:4. Dan, Proverbs 18:22. Natalie, Proverbs 19:14. Can't even read my own writing, Corby. Can you imagine that? I heard you stand up here and say that too. I'll let that one go. I don't know for sure what it is. Proverbs 12:4.
A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones.
Proverbs 18:22.
Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord.
And Proverbs 19:14. So there you see, there's some verses there that show you, you know, what a virtuous woman is. You know, and it's a good thing to have to get a wife. It's a good thing to have a virtuous woman. It's a good thing for, and you know, to be virtuous, capable, and pure here is what she is. So that's the first one here that we're talking about here, these qualifications. The second one here is Proverbs 31. Yeah, Proverbs 31:10 also, as we're going over this here. She's trustworthy. She's responsible. Her husband knows she will do a good job for him. Just what Ben was saying there. Knows that her husband knows that she's going to do a good job for him. Corby, do you know your wife's going to do a good job for you when you go out there to work today? She's going to take care of them kids, and she's going to do a whole bunch of stuff that you don't even expect her to do. Does that, right? You know that she's going to do a good job for you. This is your wife. This is who you picked that you wanted to live with. This is who she is. And you know that she can do that for you. Now, isn't that trustworthy?
Isn't that what we want for our children, to pick a mate like that?
Sure.
Saves it like me. I got saved later in life, and he can do that, you know, immediately and bring that submissive spirit. But that's the next generation that we're talking about. And
right, you don't want to teach your children to as it is today. Well, I'm going to go live with her for a while, and I'm going to check her out, and I'm going to see if she's going to be the right one for me, and if not, down the drain, I'll try another one until I find the right one. That's a bunch of baloney. That goes, according to the Bible, that goes against everything that there is in the Bible about the Bible itself. And that's this society today. That's what they think. I'm working right now up at State College here at Penn State University. At Penn State University, one of the greatest places here on earth to work. I'm telling you, it makes me sick. So it does. Just to see what's going on up there. And you got to, half the time, you got to turn your head. It's stupid. It is really stupid. Somebody else's hand, Dan. Mm-hmm. How many of you were not saved when you got married? The man and the woman. Okay. Now, isn't that something? How that I was the same way. I wasn't saved. My wife wasn't saved. How did you know that she was the one for you, Van? I know that's a tough question, but you know, you probably need some thought on it, but. Yeah, but you know, you've been together now all these years. You know, you got saved, she got saved, you've been together all these years, and you know, it worked out. It was the same way with me. I wasn't saved when we first got. Well, yes, I was. I should say I was saved, but I was in a backslidden condition. Bad. I was saved when I was a teenager, but I got into the army, and everything, I mean, I didn't have somebody take me, and this is why I feel that it is so important that someone that's first saved got to be discipled. It is important. I wasn't. I had no idea. I didn't know what to look for. I didn't know what to read. I don't know. I was just reading my Bible, just reading. No idea what to read or anything, you know. Being discipled is so important. And if we would have been, you know, discipled better, you know, my wife and I, because when I told her, I said, listen, I said, I want to bring a family. I said, I want to be in a Christian family. So I said, you know, if you're not willing for that, dare, I said, there's no sense of us even, you know, being together anymore. And she said, no. She said, that's fine, you know. She didn't understand. But then we started going to church. And we had a Sunday school teacher that kind of helped us out a little bit, you know. And it was a lady teacher, but no problem, you know. It was a lady teacher. She was teaching us. We were starting to learn. She got saved through it, you know. I came back to the Lord. And we decided then, you know, we're getting into it more and more, you know, and bringing our family up in a Christian way, in a Christian church. And so it does work out sometimes. I'm not saying all the time, you know. It does work out, you know, but it's better that they're, you know, that you're saved if you can get married. But if not, sometimes it does work out if there is some knowledge there, at least, you know, first of all, and let the Holy Spirit then work on you for that. Bam.
Her life that helped convince me and show me the right way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have to admit, too, you know, my wife, she's the one that helped me out some, you know, because I had a temper. Oh, man. I mean, it's nothing now compared to what it was. You can even ask my brother, you know, if I get mad at something, I kick it, punch it, do whatever I had to do to it, you know. It was just one of them things. That's the way I was. And she helped me out a lot. Definitely. Definitely.
And that's what it taught me. I need to be just to listen more and speak less. So, you know, there's some good that comes out of that too.
Mm-hmm. If I go around the room and ask you all, you know, you all got, you know, qualities here, you know, that you've learned from each other, and that's great. You know, that is a good thing. So it is definitely, but. The time's up, so we're going to have to quit right there. Father, I thank and praise you for this time. I thank you for this day. I thank you, Father, for just all the aspects of it. And Father, as we're talking about here, this Proverbs 31 women here, Father, that we're looking at, we just ask you to just give us the wisdom that we need here that we can learn from it, you know, even the men, Father. Not only the women, but the men also, Father, can learn from it. And we just ask, Father, that you just help us with that. Enlighten us as we do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.